Grab a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. That's going to be one of the main passages we go to today. The other one is going to be Mark chapter 2. So if you want to put your finger in there, you can be ready for when I ask you to turn there. Basically, we're in this series called Summer of My Soul. And basically, it's a series kind of about balance in our life so that we can respond the correct ways to the changing seasons. Now, if you remember last week, if you were here last week, I talked about those different seasons and how we respond to those seasons in life. So last week was like this big introduction. And then this week, we're going to talk about the practices, the things that we need to do. And the first one we're going to talk about today is rest. So if you didn't listen, if you didn't hear it last week, you can go online or go on our app and hear that to be caught up. But today we're going to talk about rest. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I pray now, Lord, that as we get into your word, that it helps us to know who you are and what you've done. Helps us to know you in a deeper way and know how you want us to respond to you. So I'm thankful again for the opportunity we have to be here this morning to learn more about your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been sleep deprived? Anyone here sleep deprived? Just didn't get it? Yeah, everybody's like, Okay, if you're a parent, you know what I mean, right? When that first month or two that you had your child, you just didn't get any sleep. I remember when my kids were all little, I was online at Babies R Us. I never go there anymore, and that's a good thing. Okay, so I was at Babies R Us, and I was online. There was a guy in front of me, and he was literally like this, like, ugh. Oh, and he was like making noises. I was like, hey, buddy, you all right? And he was a younger guy. He was younger than I was at the time. And he was like, oh, he's like, 3 weeks ago, we just had a baby. He's like, I haven't gotten a good night's sleep since we had this baby. He was like, oh. And I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, I have three kids. I said, eventually, you know, the baby will sleep through the night. And he looks at me, he goes, he will? And I was like, yeah. I was like, that's what happens. I was like, the baby eventually will give you longer. And like, this guy was so sleep deprived that he couldn't even wrap his brain around the fact that this kid was eventually going to sleep through the night. So that's what sleep deprivation does to you, right? You can't even think clearly. Have you ever felt like you were nonstop for way too long? Have you ever felt that? I feel like I always have something to do and I can't stop. Maybe you're just like, I need a break. Maybe you're fatigued and you just feel like, I am always tired. Well, last week, we talked about those four seasons of life, seasons of acceptance, seasons of action, seasons of discernment, seasons of blessing. We learned that it takes balance in life, right, to respond to those seasons in a godly way. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about creating balance by using rest. We're going to talk about the concept taught in the scriptures about the need for rest. The bottom line today for you is this. When you get consistent rest, you will respond your best. I know it rhymes, it's a little cheesy, right? But you'll remember, right? When you get consistent rest, you'll respond your best. Do you realize that it is actually by God's design that we rest? It's by God's design. In God's word, we see this work-rest cycle consistently throughout the word, and that actually starts in creation. You don't have to turn to this passage. I'm just going to read to you Genesis 2, 1 through 3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done. So the work rest cycle was actually established by God, and it was modeled by God for life. It was modeled by God for our life. Then we fast forward to Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to turn there, Exodus chapter 20, where Moses receives the law from God. In that law are the Ten Commandments. One of those commandments, command number 4, is in Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11, and it is actually the command of Sabbath rest. So let's look at that. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you should not do any work. you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So now we see God's people are commanded to actually rest, to set aside a day as a restful day, a Sabbath day. But the question then becomes, why did God do this? Why did God do this? So what I want to do is I want to tell you three reasons or three things that the people of that time were supposed to remember during the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a reminder of, first, the deliverance. In Deuteronomy 5:15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with his mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." So while they were spending time on the Sabbath day, they were supposed to remember, you used to be slaves in Egypt, but I delivered you out of that slavery. Remember in slavery where you got no break, okay? Because slaves don't get a day off. Remember that? Well, I brought you out of there, and I delivered you from that slavery. And now what you're going to do to continue to remember my deliverance is you're going to stop. On the seventh day, you're going to rest. God wanted his people to remember that he delivered them. In fact, actually, during the deliverance, do you remember the account of manna coming down from heaven? God's people were hungry. He rained manna from heaven every day for the people to collect. Does anybody remember on the sixth day they were supposed to collect what? Does anybody remember? A double portion. Because on the seventh day they were not supposed to collect any. So God was saying, this is what I want you to be reminded of, the great thing that I did to deliver you. So every Sabbath they were to remember, God delivered us. The second is dependence. You're supposed to remember, they were supposed to remember that they were dependent on the Lord. By taking all routine work at a halt for 24 hours, people were acting out their allegiance and confessing that the Lord was specifically the Lord of their time. Israel was acknowledging its dependence on the Lord. God, we depend on you. We depend on you. We're saying, okay, I know there's things to be done, but you said stop working, so I'm going to depend on you and know that you're going to get these things done. You're going to get these things done through me, but I'm going to rest before they get done. The third is this, to remember the covenant promise. It's a sign of God's sanctification of his people. Sanctification simply means set apart. It's a sign that God's people were set apart, that they were different. In Exodus 31:13, he says this, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say this, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you or sets you apart. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you.'" Sabbath by command in the Old Testament is a sign of the covenant that God has with his people, the promise that God has with his people. And you know what? It points to Hebrews chapter 4, in which the fulfillment of that eternal covenant is God giving us eternal rest in Jesus. Remember this. All the people would be blessed through Abraham. Remember when we went through our Old Testament survey? All the nations of the world would be blessed through the lines of Abraham. Enter in Jesus. This brings us to today, right? When a person trusts in the beautiful gospel message, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, the fact that he said all who believe will have eternal life, here's what happens. We have rest in him. We have not only eternal rest, but we have peace with him now. Now track with me for a second. Let's go back to creation. Remember, God created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. What was the first day that they entered into? Does anybody know? The seventh day, the day that God rested. So here's what I want to suggest to you. They were entering into the rest of God, peace with God, a relationship with God. What disrupted that rest? What disrupted that peace? What disrupted that relationship? It was sin, right? Sin actually disrupted that. So at that point, God's people were no longer in that rest, no longer in that peace, or no longer in that relationship because sin was in the world, because they were sinners. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to restore us to that rest by laying down his life for us. And that is why Jesus said in Mark 2:28 that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, because he has the power to restore us back into that Sabbath rest because he died in our place. So now the question becomes this: why do we as Christians not obey the Sabbath? Why don't we obey that? Or, in other words, some people ask this question: doesn't Sunday just become the new Sabbath? Doesn't Sunday just become the new Sabbath? So I'm going to give you the simple answer, then we're going to go into a little bit more theology, and then we're going to get a little more practical again. So the simple answer is, Jesus gives us the rest that we need and God's people were looking for. Jesus gives us the rest that we need and God's people were looking for. Matthew 11:28, does anybody remember I shared this verse last week? Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest, okay? Good, we like that word, rest. Jesus is saying, come to me. So he, in a sense, is the Sabbath. He is saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll restore the relationship. Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not the Old Testament Sabbath, because in Christ we are spiritually in the Sabbath, in his rest. Sunday is for Christians to worship. It's known in the New Testament as the Lord's day. And part of the Lord's day is we do rest. We rest. But the reason we worship now on Sunday is because that's when Jesus rose from the grave, right? On Sunday. So Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday. And incidentally, Sunday is the first day of the week. Now, for us, this is kind of like messing with our head, right? Because we weekend, right? It's still the weekend, right? But actually, then you look at a calendar and you're like, on the calendar, you're like, wait, why Sunday over there? It's the first day of the week. So here's the thing. God wants us to take care of first things first. We worship on Sunday. We rest on Sunday to get ourselves ready, right, for the second day, which happens to be Monday. We get ourselves ready for the rest of the week. God wants us to take care of first things first. Even when you looked at the topics last week, you were probably thinking like, oh, you saw responsibility and all these different things on there. And you're like, oh, man, he's going to start with rest. Wouldn't you want to do that after you got all the work done? Be like, ah, no, God is saying start with rest. So I want to get into a little bit of theology just briefly in Mark 2, and just to kind of help you understand this whole why we don't Sabbath on Sunday, so to speak. It's not the new Sabbath. We're not commanded not to lift a finger, basically. So let's look at Mark 2, 23 through 28. It says this. Mark 2, 23 through 28 says, on the Sabbath, talking about Jesus, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees, those are the religious leaders, were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, and he and those that were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So now here's what's happening. Jesus was rejecting this strict legalistic Old Testament commandment, or as they were following the old commandment. So he was like, okay, you guys have become strict legalistic about this. In this passage, he's communicating and saying the Sabbath observance is not a duty that mankind owes God. Rather, the Sabbath was made by God for man to rest. That's why he's saying the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the disciples were in need, just as David and his men were in need. So God is saying, you know what, listen, when people are in need, God will allow that need to be met, even if it's on the Sabbath. D.A. Carson, a theologian, he shed some light on this, and he says this: the Sabbath, with its legislation, was never meant to be a tyrant that enslaved people by its insufferable demands, but a benefit and a privilege instituted for the sake of people and their enjoyment. God did this because he wants us to rest. He desires us to rest. He wants to put us down for a nap, so to speak. Have you ever seen like little kids, like they don't want to go down for their nap, right? Put a two-year-old down for a nap. And I can still remember being a young parent just being like, I wish somebody would put me down for a nap right now. God wants us to go down for the nap, okay? He wants us to actually rest. So God commanded rest because his people needed it. Well, why is it so important then? Why is it so important? Well, because God is saying this is beneficial to you. If you do not get consistent rest, you will suffer. That's the truth. You will suffer. You'll suffer in three areas. The first is you'll suffer physically. You'll suffer physically. Most of you understand how the human body works, right? You suffer physically if you don't get rest. Some of you here who work out, you know this to be true about working out, right? You rest between sets, okay? You rest a muscle group for days before you return back to that muscle group. There's a 16-year-old boy that's like, yeah, I want big guns. And he goes to the gym every day and just curls every day, curls every single day. He's never going to get the big guns that he wants because he's not allowing his body, his biceps, to rest and actually recuperate so they can become stronger. It's the same thing with the rest of our body, right? When we don't get the rest, we actually suffer. Speaking of that, think of sleep. We need adequate sleep. There's an American Academy of Sleep Medicine. They do studies all the time. One of the studies that I came across was a study of about 1,800 adult twins. They took these twins and gave them different sleep times. And they found in the ones that slept from 7 to 9 hours, only 27% of them displayed depressive symptoms. The ones that slept less than 6 hours, 53% displayed depressive symptoms. In the ones that slept 10 or over, 49% displayed depressive symptoms. You see what's going on here? There's that perfect amount of sleep that God wants us to have. Too little is no good. Too much is no good. Things have to be just right. Goldilocks was on to something, wasn't she? Okay? It has to be just right. Another study found in 4,000 teenagers, and this is so important, in 4,000 teenagers, they did a study and it documented the effects of major depression are connected with the lack of sleep through the teenage years. Results suggest that sleeping 6 hours or less per night increased the risk of teenagers becoming majorly depressed for their adult lives. Sleep is the ultimate rest. Do you realize that? Sleep is the ultimate rest. Psalm 127, I love this verse. It says this, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." You know what that's saying? Don't say, I got to stay up late, get up early, get everything done. God's saying, no. It's in vain that you do that. You're depending on yourself. You're trying too hard. I give my beloved sleep. You need adequate sleep. You know, back to those teenagers. Teenagers, if there's teenagers here, you're going to hate what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say this for your benefit, because when you're 30, you're going to come back and thank me if your parents actually listen to me right now. Okay? Parents, you need your teenagers to turn in their cell phone at night, because there's studies across the board. Teenagers are sleeping with their cell phones in their rooms. Their cell phones are alerting them. Their friends are texting them. There's chats going. Things are going on that are keeping them awake at night and keeping them from actually getting the rest that's necessary. And I don't know, parents. I don't know about you. I don't want to raise depressed kids. That's not on my checklist. Like, want my kid to be depressed, okay? It's not on the checklist. So here's the thing. You got to make sure those kids don't have their phones when they're supposed to be sleeping, because it's just going to be a distraction to what they really need. And that's important rest. Which brings us to the next reason rest is so important. That's emotionally. When we don't get the rest we need, we can be emotionally unstable. And some of you are thinking right now, yeah, I know there's somebody at work. They need like a week of sleep because they're nuts. Okay. But the truth is if you don't, you've been sleep deprived before, right? You've needed rest. You can't make wise decisions. You can't make sound decisions with good reason when you're not sleeping. And then finally, you'll suffer spiritually. The principle we derive from the fourth commandment of observing the Sabbath is actually stopping to rest, and it keeps us spiritually healthy. Next week, I'm going to talk about silence and meditation. So I'm going to really go into depth on this point of how we have spiritual rest and spiritual development. Here's the thing. If we don't rest, we'll suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But I bet you're thinking right now, that's not going to happen for me. I'm way too busy. I really can't get the rest that I need. I can't stop. Everything depends on me getting things done. Have you ever felt that way? And you're just like, I can't rest. Well, here's what I'm going to do. For the rest of the sermon, I'm going to share practical tips on how you can practice resting. Practical tips on how you can practice resting. I hope somebody's sitting right next to you. I want you to lay your head on their shoulder. No, I'm just kidding. You can do that if you want. Please don't fall asleep, okay? But the first practical tip is this: worship. View worship as part of your rest. Remembrance of what Jesus has done for you. The eternal rest that he is going to bring to you when you pass from this earth. It's not a sin to go to work on a Sunday, but it is a sin to actually give up meeting together. God wants us to worship. He desires us to worship. So let's just say if you do have to work on a Sunday, don't get up on a Sunday morning and say, oh, I got to get myself ready for work and this and that, and I need some time to just sit in the chair or whatever, and then I'll go to work. No, make it a priority to actually worship. On the other hand, some people say, oh, Sunday's our only day off, so we do the boat, we do the beach, we do all this stuff, and they just decide, okay, I'm not going to go and worship. Well, just say to yourself, you know what? Part of my weekly rest is actually coming and worshiping the Lord. Then I'll go do all those relaxing activities with my family or my friends. Worship is so important. You have to make that a priority. The second practical tip is this: deadlines. Create deadlines for yourself. Have start and finish times for your work. When you know you have to stop working at a certain time, it'll actually help you to actually complete the task. Have you ever found that? Some of you, you probably learned this really early in life, that you can just, if I just keep on working and keep on completing stuff, more stuff comes. You know, the time just gets backfilled. More of me is desired. Well, you have to say start and finish times, some deadlines. Okay, I'm going to be done this, so on this day, I can actually rest. So the next day, I can actually rest. An author said it best when she said this: the Sabbath command also instructs each Israelite to plan to finish his week's work by the Sabbath. It deals with the problem of men not wishing to stop what they're doing because they have not finished, by instructing them to plan to finish by the end of the sixth day and to see to it that they finish. You create a deadline for yourself. Okay, I need this chunk of time off. I'm going to create a deadline and I'm not going to go back to it. The next is this: protect your time off. You have to protect your time off. Remember the good old days when your phone was attached to your wall in your house, and if you were out of your house, nobody could ever get in touch with you? Those were the good old days, weren't they? Well, here's the thing. You might have a phone in your pocket, but that doesn't mean you have to answer everything, okay? Because guess what? You go to your phone, you get text messages, phone calls, DMs, Snapchats, inbox messages. Everywhere you turn, somebody is trying to grab you. And guess what? If it's somebody from work, you're not working. They can wait. Protect your time off. Make sure you protect that time off. You don't have to answer everything. I know you think you do. I know they think that you do. But it doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. And God knows that you need to rest. Plan breaks from normal work tasks. Now, this might get a little challenging for you. Whatever your job is, you know, maybe in a situation, you can go to your boss and say, you know what, like once a month, I just need to be on task for something different. I'm still going to be at work, but I'm going to be doing something different, something out of my normal tasks. So this way I can kind of refresh, I can step away. Some of you probably noticed this already if you've been coming here for a while. About every 7 weeks, I don't preach. That doesn't mean that every 7 weeks I'm on a vacation. Some of those weeks I'm here working the office, planning for the future, doing different things, whatever, praying about what future sermon series, whatever tasks I need to get done. But one of the tasks I'm not doing that week is actually studying and preparing to preach. So I take that time because it's a break from my normal task. And I had one person say to me one time, he said, Mike, every time you're out of the pulpit for a week and then when you come back, you have a little extra fire in you. Well, that fire is actually sparked by the rest that I had. I have time to sit and think, time to evaluate, time to actually get away from the normal task of what I do. So what's that look like for you? I don't know what your job is, but you know, figure it out. Maybe there's other workers where you can trade some type of work with, or maybe you can appeal to your boss and say, like, I just need to do something a little different because I'm getting burnt out with doing the same thing day in and day out. The next is this. This is a simple one, but it's a hard one. Plan your sleep. Okay, plan your sleep. What time do you have to get up? Plan your sleep. Backtrack. Don't just sit on the couch and say, okay, I'm going to turn on the TV whenever I nod off, okay? Plan your sleep. Like, I need to get to bed. If I feel like I need 7 or 8 hours of sleep, I need to get to bed accordingly. I need to get to bed accordingly. Studies are also saying if you're scrolling like an hour before bed, that last hour before bed, if you're scrolling, which I know that's some of the last things that some of you do, if you're scrolling on Facebook and social media and looking at your phone, you're not going to get a good night's sleep either. Your brain is not going to respond the right way to the sleep that you need to get. The next is take a vacation. Take a vacation. Take a lot of vacations. Take as much vacation as your boss will allow you to take. Don't wait until you retire. Don't say, yeah, you know what? Like when I retire, guess what? Just earth to you, you can die before you retire. You realize that, right? Okay? You take the vacation. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your life. Enjoy. We're going to do a whole message on celebrating. Little side note, though. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you're thinking, I never get a break, okay? I'm a stay-at-home mom. My job are these kids and I never get a break. This is never going to happen. Well, here's what I would suggest. Get creative, okay? Maybe you have another mom or another parent that, you know, is stay at home, and you can barter with them. You could say, hey, listen, on Monday, you know, from 3 to 5, can you take my kids? And on Wednesday from 3 to 5, I'll take yours. And instead of doing what I know you're already thinking, oh, I can run some errands now. I can go to ShopRite, and I can go to Walmart with no kids. Don't do that. Just rest. Just rest. Just spend some time resting and recuperating. Bedtime, so important for kids. If you have little kids, they need a bedtime. Why? You need them to have a bedtime, okay? Trust me, we have 3 kids, and when they were little, man, bedtime was like, yes, bedtime. Tuck them in, and you know, if they come out, they'll tell you too. I'd be like, what are you doing out here? Yeah, I already tucked you in. I did the hard part. It's done, okay? The day is done. Dad needs to rest, okay? Here's the thing. It's so important. It's so important for you to get the rest you need. Husbands, if your wife is a stay-at-home mom, you need to be sensitive. When does she need a break? When does she need a break? Step it up. She needs a break. Things to remember while you're resting, because here's what's going through your mind as well. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty when you rest. Balance is actually biblical. Part of balance is resting. Our culture, America, does this the absolute worst. I listen to a lot of podcasts, pastors from different countries and stuff like that, and America does this the worst. If you research vacation time and stuff, America does this the worst. And here are statements that you'll hear from people. I work hard. I work 7 days a week. And when people say that, like, they're like, respect me, honor me, look how hard of a worker I am. All that does is loud and clear says, I have no balance in my life. Look at me. I have no balance in my life. That's basically what it's saying. So don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Take a rest. Take a break. Don't feel guilty about it. God desires you to do that. The next is realize your work suffers without rest. Realize your work suffers without rest. You may think I'll put in long hours to get everything done, but guess what? Working 40 hours at 100% is better than 60 hours at 70%. Just as it's better for you, it's better for your work environment. Stephen Covey wrote a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Has anybody ever heard of that book? Habit number 7 is sharpen your axe or sharpen your saw. One of the ways that he says to do that is through rest. A lifestyle that incorporates time for rest in order to be renewed and refreshed. That's what highly effective people are doing, is they're sharpening their saw. The next is this. Work does not all depend on you. Work does not all depend on you. And you might be saying, yes, it does. No, it doesn't. This is twofold. Harvard Business Review reports after research that successful companies give their higher-ups, like people that are high up in management, they give them sabbaticals. They give them Sabbaths, sabbaticals, time off, a decent amount of time off. And they did this because they found the research, like if these people are well-rested, they come back with better ideas, they do a better job, they do better. So we want to protect them. They're important to the company and the success of the company. But you know what else they found out through this? They found out not only do these people come back rested and better, but now we've given the people that are lower in the command chain opportunities to step up and actually step into roles that they never would have had. So then they're like, wow, this is amazing. This is a great benefit for the company, because not only are great leaders getting the rest they need, they're finding that the ones under them are becoming great leaders because they get to take the responsibility. Work does not all depend on you. I can guarantee if you take a break, if you take a rest, guess what? Things will get done. Maybe not as good as you do them, but things will get done. And I can guarantee you this, the work will be there when you return, okay? The work will be there when you return. But the twofold is this, if you depend on yourself, here's what you're doing. You're leaving the Lord out of the picture. Remember one of the reasons why the Israelites had a Sabbath? To display their dependence. You know, you don't need to be a pastor or a missionary to do the work of the Lord. You need to go to work to do the work of the Lord. Every good work is glorifying Him. When you depend on Him, when you go to your job and you're depending on the Lord, you're actually glorifying Him. You're saying, God, you're helping with me with this. You're dealing. It doesn't all depend on me. It doesn't all depend on me. It depends on you, Lord. I need you to help me with this. But then finally, you're preparing yourself for the changing seasons of life. You're preparing yourself for the changing of the seasons of life. The seasons of acceptance, action, discernment, blessing are so much better when we're physically, emotionally, and spiritually rested. We respond with our best foot forward. Or in other words, when you get consistent rest, you'll respond your best. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this day. I just pray, Lord.